It is Locked On Jazz for the 19th of December. The Jazz are in Atlanta, and they've got a fighting Hawks team that seems to be a mess. Plus, it's a Thursday live edition, so we'll be taking your questions, your thoughts, all coming to you from Atlanta. It's Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for joining us live. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making a lot more fun for you to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thanks so much for stopping by. I look forward to talking with you, getting your thoughts, your comments on this one. The Jazz got to Atlanta yesterday, and so we get ready to take on the Atlanta Hawks. Today's show is coming to you live on Periscope, should be at least, Periscope. Also coming to you live on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitch, and on all the platforms. Locked On Sports on Facebook and Locked On Live. YouTube, it's coming to you on Locked On Live. Twitch, Locked On Live. And, no sound, says somebody. That's not right. Scarlet is what it's supposed to be coming in from. Check, check, check. I think you're supposed to have sound. I think everyone else has sound. Brandon Whiteside, one of our all-time stalwarts, says he's not getting sound, but I see sound coming in on my feed. Is anyone else having that problem? Let's check with the group. Brandon is on Facebook, but I've got all my levels checked. I've actually screwed this up enough times that I'm actually getting somewhat better at actually doing it correctly, I think. We'll see. I don't want Brandon to be without sound, though. All right, let's talk about... all right, everyone's got sound. Thank you very much. It's all... Brandon, you're the one without ears today. Sorry, bud. Thanks, guys, for everybody chiming in on that. All right, let's get the questions rolling. Let me touch on a few things so far. And so the Jazz without Mike Conley now. And this, I mean... It has been stunning so far this year. We've talked about it so much more and so many times. I feel like we're kind of ad nauseum on it. But when we have Bogdanovich, Mitchell, and Conley on the floor this year, we've been amazing. When we've taken one of them off the floor, we've been a little less amazing. And we're beginning to hopefully figure it out, but you could just see the difference the other night when you had Mike Conley as part of the rotation. And you had that the ability to have that depth, how different we look as a basketball team. And now we head in to a bunch of games where, frankly, we need to win at least the next two. And we're doing it a little limited because when Mike Conley is off the floor, we have not been able to score as well as you might like. And when we really suddenly, you know, take some of our guys off the floor, we've seen what happens. And I don't know the answer for what, you know, what the Jazz should do here. We've gone through it a million times. I'm not a believer right now that I think that there's one guy at fault off that bench. And so that if you replace one guy, that somehow that would solve everything. I'm not really there. I don't really believe that. So I don't think there's a scapegoat here. I just think that collection of players hasn't worked well together. When you had Conley the other day, you were able to do so many other things. When you have Conley, Donovan, and Bogdanovich, we're plus 11 per 100 possessions. Our offense is in the 94th percentile, 117. That's the craziest part about this season so far. And that is that it is actually kind of exactly what we thought they were going to be. Everyone, oh, they're so disappointing. You know what? Actually, the guys we were excited about have not been disappointing at all. When we talked about this team, we just didn't talk about that second unit. We thought it'd be fine. We've talked all these years for 3 through 12 depth and what the value is, and then we didn't have it, and we just kind of dismissed it. My bad. I'm sorry. But I think that's true. When Boyan and Donovan are on the floor and no Mike Conley, we're minus 3.1. Our offense slides to a 110. And the scary thing on that, by the way, is that's with us shooting lights out. Our turnover rate is way too high of that lineup. It's 18%. Our offensive rebounding rate is way too low at 23%. Not that Mike's going to go get offensive rebounds. And so with Mike Conley off the floor, Bojan and Donovan on, we're shooting as well as any team in the NBA, and we're still only in the 61st percentile offensively, and then defensively we're not very good. And then this is where it gets scary. You take Donovan off the floor, so now when we have Donovan off the floor, and you probably want to keep Bojan on the floor in those minutes as your other scorer with Mike gone, all of a sudden our offense drops. That's interesting. Hadn't seen this before. When Bojan is on the court without Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell, we are now great. That's fascinating. I wonder if Quinn tries this. In 192 possessions, I did not know this. I just stumbled on this. In 192 possessions, not very many, when Bojan is on the floor without Mike or without Donovan, we're plus 26. Wow. Now, those are almost all with Gobert. So it's not quite him with the bench unit. It's almost all him with Gobert. It's not some great find if you put Bojan with the bench, we're going to be okay. It's actually all with Gobert in there. If you put Donovan on the floor without Bogdanovich and without Conley, our offense slides to the 9th percentile. We've talked about that all year long. It's 101.7. We are hitting this Hawks team at a funky time. And the reason I say that is because they just got blown out in New York. I'm sure nightclubs in New York had something to do with on a young group. But then there was a bunch of articles written about them that there's, you know, pressure in the locker room and tension and this and that. There may not be very good. I mean, they have lost, I think, 16 of their last 18. Without John Collins, who comes back on December 23rd, their offensive rating is a 117, thanks to Brad Rowland and Locked On Hawks for this great information. 22 losses, only 4 of them have been against non-playoff teams. So they're not probably as bad as they seem. Having lost 16 of 18, and they're feisty because they just got blown out and because they just got embarrassed and they're back home. So, you know what? I think this is going to be a tough one. The line's 6. I don't know where I would go on that. I'm not allowed to say or do it anyway. So, but it's an interesting, I think this one could be tougher. And Trae Young's not a, like, Royce O'Neal's strength defensively is being physical with guys. When you're playing someone like Trae Young, who's so shifty, then I don't know that Royce O'Neal can have the same impact he does when he's physical on someone. That's his defensive strength, is when he's physical. You might play Joe on Trae Young, which sounds counterintuitive because of his length, and just try to take away his angles. But this is not, they're limited. They're so young. Aren't these cute little espresso cups they have for us in our hotel room? Pretty nice, huh? Beautiful curtains behind me, too. I know. If you are just listening on audio, you're like, what just happened? Squirrel, woohoo, ADD boy, stay focused. If you're watching it live, you kind of have an idea of what just happened. I took a sip of espresso. I showed you the cup, and I commented on how gray my background is behind me. It absolutely looks terrible, but I didn't really know what to do. There's not like a great, I don't have a good view. I don't like the, yeah. All right. I was going to sit. Never mind. That is about to get in trouble. So I think it's going to be an interesting trip. I think Atlanta's going to be a lot better than we expect. They're limited. I mean, they're playing Jabari as the starting four. And he's struggling. The other one that just strikes me, by the way, having played Orlando the other night and playing Jabari tonight, and obviously Jabari is, at least seems to be, that his career got derailed by injuries. But I think there's still some question of, you know, what he was going to be anyway. Do you remember, like, everyone in the world tanking for that draft? The 2014 draft is the draft that, like, everybody was purposely losing for so they could get it. And it was supposed to, and I was all in, by the way, on how great this draft was. All in. I bought it hook, line, and sinker. The best two players, three players of this draft so far win share-wise have been Nikola Vukovic. No, excuse me. Nikola Jokic. Clint Capella. Me and my names today. And Dwight Powell. There have been two All-Stars out of the entire draft, Jokic and Embiid. Listen to this draft. This was the draft that, like, people lost games for on purpose to go get because there were franchise-changing players. Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker, Joel Embiid. Okay, he's been pretty good when he plays. Aaron Gordon, huge disappointment. And I just watched him again the other night. I don't know who he is. Dante Exum, Marcus Smart, probably turning out to be pretty good, but sixth pick of a draft, and still can't shoot, right? He's a career 37% shooter from the field and 31% from three. Julius Randle on his whatever amount of teams he's on. Nick Stauskas, not sure he's in the league. Noah Vonleh is in the league as a backup in maybe Minnesota, not playing. Elfrid Payton, it's like everybody's just on the Knicks. Doug McDermott, Dario Saric, Zach LaVine at 13. TJ Warren's been okay in Indiana. Adrian Payne, I think, is out of the league. Yusuf Nurkic is hurt. James Young, I think, is out of the league. Tyler Ennis might be out of the league. Gary Harris was 19. Bruno Caboclo is back in the league, has only played 86 games. Mitch McGarry's out of the league. Jordan Adams, Rodney Hood, great pick by the Jazz on this draft. Shabazz Napier at 24, Clint Capella 25, PJ Harrison 26, Bogdan Bogdanovic at 27, and it's been great for Sacramento, originally drafted by Phoenix, CJ Wilcox, Josh Huestis, Kyle Anderson, and then the steal of the steal was Nikola Jokic at 41. A lot of these other guys, Spencer Dinwiddie was taken 38 in that draft, is actually turning out to be pretty good. What a wild turn, right? We all thought that draft was going to be the end-all of all drafts. Today's show is brought to you in part by Intercap Lending. Steve Carter and Intercap are your official loan officers of the Locked On Jazz podcast. The reviews on Steve Carter are awesome, whether it's Jason Shepard, who I've shared with you, who went to Steve Carter, whether it's any of our other numerous Locked On Jazz people. It's so great because the reviews all come back the exact same way every single time, that Steve Carter went above and beyond. And that's what I experienced, and I'm not going to lie. I was a little nervous already. He's trying to get a client. He wants to do advertising for him. I wonder if it's – well, it's been 2.5 years now. It's abundantly clear to me that none of that is because I was anyone different. Steve Carter treats every single person like that. That is what makes it so great. Intercap Lending is a nimble company. Josh Romney brought it to Utah. It's a long-time lending company. You do not have to only be in Utah, by the way. Steve Carter can help you outside of the state as well, which is really a super opportunity for you. Intercap Lending, they do a great job, whether it's their app or their using of technology, but most of all, what they're all about is getting deals done and the customer service that they have. Give Steve Carter a call, 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 1904-65, intercaplending.com. All right, let's go to your questions. Hear what you have to say today. I'm going to go backwards. Azir from Sri Lanka. I'm the biggest Jazz fan in the world, David. Sri Lanka. Check it in. Love it. Nice to see you. How was our transition defense from last year compared to this year? It's just been much worse this year, and it's been bad month by month. It's really surprising. It's the key to everything that we need to fix. If you look at us month by month, I'm checking for those who can see it. I have sent a text message, I think, to Boone the other day that had the numbers on it. So let me pull it up for you quickly and find it for you. Here is our month by month. October, we allowed 12.6 transition opportunities. November, we allowed 16.6 transition opportunities. December, we've allowed 18.7 transition opportunities. So 13 to 17 to 19, we've got to cut that number down. And we weren't good at it against Orlando the other night either. Brandon Whiteside, who has volume now. I'm a big Exum fan, but it seems like he isn't going to get out on the court. Can we trade him for a stretch power forward like Jabari for our bench? I don't know if we can trade Dante Exum at $11 million or $9 million, I think it is, or $9 or $10 million with another year left, I think, on it, maybe. Is there another year left on it? You know, they'd like to get Dante on the court. I think he'll get the opportunity. I think it'll open up. I just don't know how. Like, frankly, Moutier's playing pretty well, and it's almost as much as the Jazz tried every other approach, which was to not have Dante be blocked by Moutier. It's hard to get Dante on the court unless you're taking Moutier off the court. So I think that's kind of prohibiting Dante from getting on the court a little bit. I also just think Dante, you know, needs more time. Like, even, you know, he's really working hard with Jeff Watkinson in practice and doing all the things you're supposed to do. And I think that when you, you're going to hopefully see him, you know, there's little areas, I can't really comment on what they are, but that aren't quite right now. And when those start to happen in practice, I think you'll know that he ends up trying to get more time on the floor. Craig wants to know from YouTube, how about Exum and Davis and a pick for Favors? Well, two things. One, we don't have a lot of picks to offer. Remember, we've traded our upcoming pick to Memphis, and then that's got protections on it, so it limits what you can do in the future. You know, one of the things that's hard about our roster build right now is I think rightfully the front office moved a bunch of our picks. But when you move a bunch of our picks and you don't have young players to play those 12 or 14 minutes in their early ages of their career, so you have to go get veterans to do that, and that's what's been difficult for the Jazz to be able to figure that out. So, and then the other part of that is actually we cannot trade for Derek Favors because we traded him. Remember, we did Derek a favor. We traded Derek so that he could keep his salary rather than and so then he went to New Orleans on a trade. So he would have to be traded by New Orleans, released by somebody, and then he could come back. Or he can just come back next year in the offseason. But for it to be this season, Favors would have to be traded by New Orleans, which I think's got a possibility, and then released, which is not a possibility. So that's how it works. Is it time to give Tony Bradley minutes? He's clearly a better pick-and-roll guy and, frankly, has rebounded just as well as Ed Davis. I would guess they're discussing it. It's not, you know, these are humans. Ed Davis is coming off an injury, and so you don't want to quit on him. It's not one of those things where you can say, hey, guess what, Ed? We're going to just go play Tony for the next 10 games and see how he does. So it's a little more, you know, it's the locker room. It's complicated. It's all those things that, you know, we want to make it fantasy. But I'll bet that conversation is taking place. I think Tony played well. He's a little bigger and wider, so he takes up a little bit more space. He is a better pick-and-roll offensive player, and we're having a hard time scoring in that second unit. Tony just has moments, I think, which maybe in the big picture aren't as bad as it is perceived because statistically it's not that big a deal. But he has moments where he looks really bad, and I think it's a sign of youth or just some not having played a lot. He really hasn't played very much at all. Other than G League, he's been very valuable to have in the G League, but hasn't played. And I think those moments make everyone a little uncomfortable that you're not sure what you're going to get next. Whereas there's a little bit of a comfort level. You know exactly what you're going to get next with Ed. I don't know. I mean, I made that up, but it's kind of how I feel about it. But I think you're right, Riley. I think that they're probably talking about that a little bit. Eric, how do we go about improving the bench? We don't seem to have the assets to get a player that will make a huge difference. Davis, Green, Exum won't get us much. No, I think trying to make a trade in a landscape that doesn't have a free agent class, so people aren't looking for expiring contracts, we don't have pick assets to move. I think it's going to be very hard for the front office. Now, understanding it's very hard, they've been amazingly creative and gotten things done in the past, so I don't want to say I don't think they can do it. I just think we better understand how difficult a landscape it is for them to try to make a deal right now. And I think that that's particularly worth kind of noting as we try to rebuild. So it's going to have to be trying to find some combination of players to get things done. I'll tell you what. I have no idea. I got the injury report last night. Maybe I misread it. I got the injury report last night. Had Mike Conley on it. It didn't have Jarrell Brantley in the G League, which I thought was strange because they're in that Vegas tournament. And it's, so it's a pretty big deal that they're in that Vegas tournament right now. So I was surprised. The implication is, and I haven't seen him here and they didn't shoot around today, so I don't know, is that if he's not on the injury report, he's up with the team. So maybe we're going to see Jarrell Brantley getting a few minutes to try to add some juice to the group. I don't know instead of whom, but I just noticed that it had Justin Wright Foreman. It had our regular guys back in the G League not available and didn't have Jarrell. Maybe I'm wrong. Gosh. And I couldn't just find it. I tried to find that. It might have been on Twitter. Yeah, I don't... I'm now nervous about what I just said. Oh, well. If I'm wrong, I apologize. I did not mean it to be. I just... I can only find my itineraries and not... Maybe it was came... Oh, it probably came via the injury report via Twitter. Anyway, I'm really derailing the show right now. Here it was. Injury report. Juwan Morgan, Nigel Williams-Goss, Justin Wright Foreman, all on G League assignment. Mia One and Jarrell Brantley not on G League assignment while the team's in Vegas for that big showcase, which is worth a bunch of money. I thought that was interesting. I don't have any idea if they're going to play, but I just thought that was interesting that they're on the road trip with us because that showcase is going on in Vegas, which is worth a bunch of money for the players and like $100,000, and I thought they might win it. Are the Jazz without a doubt making the playoffs? I think so. Like, we're 15 and whatever. Like, we're pretty good. For all of our problems, as much as we're worrying about things, we're pretty good. So I do think we're going to – I don't think we have a problem making the playoffs. Today's show, as derailed as it might be, is brought to you by my good friend Rob Thomas. No, that's not true, people. Rob Taylor of Shamrock Auto out in Pleasant Grove. If you are new to the show and don't know the whole story on this, Rob – has been with us for a long time, and I always call him by the wrong name and name him the lead singer of Matchbox 20 instead of Rob Taylor. Rob's a great guy, big biker, cyclist, listens to the show all the time. And then the fun part about Rob is that he just had a vision. It's like, you know what? I don't like the way a bunch of things are being done when I go buy a car, so I'm going to open a new car dealership. I'm going to work myself at mostly on cars that are 6 to 12 months old, 5 to 20,000 miles. We're going to be out here in Pleasant Grove. We're going to have better cars, no drama, no hassle, great pricing, and we'll get you in any truck or sedan. I asked him what his favorite customer is. He said it's the ones who either call me ahead of time and ask for what I can go, if I can go find them something, or the ones who come from out of state because they've used us before and they like us so much. They're the Utah Assault vehicles, the Suburbans, the Yukons, the big SUVs are what he specializes in, but he can also get you sedans or whatever you need. The reviews on cars.com and everywhere else are just fabulous. So make sure you go give Rob a call today. Rob Taylor, Shamrock Auto, 801-319-2250. They're located out in Pleasant Grove. You can stop by, get a great experience if you're looking for a used car. They specialize in all the things I've talked about, but you can go get you whatever you want. 801-319-2250. That's 801-319-2250. Reminder, BreakingT.com/LockedOn if you need that last second Joe Ingles shirt or something of the sort. Eugene says, I love the paintings in the hotels back in the day. This is a good one actually here. Let's see if we can flip this. I don't know if you're going to be able to see it. I could screw up the whole broadcast here. Let's see. Oh, there it is. Isn't that cool? That's actually the good painting for the right there. Okay. Yeah, we used to do hotel art. I find hotel art funny. Like, someone gets paid lots of money for hotel art. Like, there's somebody whose job it is, and they're going to make the right feel for everything. That one's kind of cool. Like, it's got some different elements to it. It's better than some others, so congratulations. Has Quinn tried subbing Boyan out early and cycling him back with a second unit? Did you say Boyan with the bench has respectable lineup numbers? That is probably the one they haven't tried yet. You know, that's the one that's not that they have. So maybe we'll see that. You know, I think he was heading toward having Mike Conley playing with the bench unit. Now Mike's out for a while. From Coney Dog, Dennis Lindsay can figure it all out. He has so far every time. He and Justin will work at it and get it done, I'm sure. Do you think the Jazz will be in the trade market for a point guard, especially in light of Conley's injury or re-injury? I don't think so, but my viewpoint, you know, if Mike Conley just doesn't come around, it's just not going to work. Like, I hate to, like, and maybe that's too, I hate just to throw in the towel on that like that, but, like, if you spend $30 million, trade two first-round draft picks and bring in a guy, and then it just, we missed, and his body's broken, and his hamstrings can't play, and he's just not ready, then I don't think there's a team in the history of the game who's lost a $30 million player that was able to pull it together. So if that's the, I mean, frankly, I hadn't thought about it this way, but if you were to tell me when the season started that on December 19th, Mike Conley would play the number of games he's played so far and be shooting what he's shooting, and our record would be what it is, I don't think I would have believed you. Right? We're underachieving the way we play to what our expectations were, but we might be overachieving considering some of the aspect of things we've gotten so far. I mean, I'm still kind of believe that Mike Conley's going to be okay. He's just was too good last year for it to all fall apart. Now, aging is real, and it happens fast, and hamstrings are tough. I mean, Chris Paul's hamstring track record is kind of brutal. You know, it's every 5 months, right? You're just kind of a ticking time bomb. I don't know if we're there. Hopefully we're not there with Mike. From Skyler on Facebook, Bogey seems to be turnover prone when he's coming off screens and is slowing down to get his defender on his back. It isn't attacking the basket at full speed. What is the big counter for him at this point? It seems both defenders stick on him, and he doesn't look like he has clear space to pass it to the screener. But nonetheless, Bogey is a killer. I do think the Jazz are probably pushing Boyan beyond some of his skill sets of what he's used in the past. His move in Indiana was an isolation where he went at you, and then the minute he didn't feel comfortable, he just turned his back and kind of bumped and backed you down into a turnaround mid-range post play. Quinn's really having him come off that pin down, coming downhill. It does seem to make him a bit more turnover prone, Skyler. I think that's fair. He's not really a passer, and I think teams know that, and so I think they suck in on him when he comes in on that. I think the first team that did that was Toronto and caused us a lot of problems with that. So I think you're, Skyler, I think you're dead on it, and I think that's going to be the downside of a pretty awesome player. Do you think placing Ingles and O'Neal on the bench, maybe inserting a player like Green into the lineup, would benefit us? So Jeff Green becomes your starting power forward. I mean, that's what he did a lot 2 years ago. He's done it a lot. He's a former number five pick at the draft. He's been a starter. So that's maybe. I get nervous about blowing up the starting unit that's been so great, right? Like, we have one thing right now that's great, and you go try to fight all your things that aren't right, and by breaking up what's great, and then you end up with nothing that's great. I'm not sure I love that scenario. That's kind of the hesitation you're hearing, just philosophically. But in this case, maybe that's the right answer. Lynn Sanders says, why don't we trade Exum? Would anyone want him? I don't know what the market is for Dante. I still think that there's a hope that Dante is going to get rolling and that be able to contribute and find his groove. I think the amount of injuries he's had is obviously, we know, derailed him, but I also think this specifically has been a little bit of a harder comeback just confidence-wise and psychologically, and there just aren't a lot of minutes to be played. 5 years ago when we weren't very good, you could have just rolled him out there for 25, 30 minutes. If he's on Atlanta, you just play him 25 minutes and get him back. And I think that, you know, in that sense, we don't have the opportunity for him. Joshua McGrath from Facebook says, make your bed. Jeez. Okay, two things here. One, I didn't think I was showing my bed, but somebody wanted the pictures. Two, I ain't sleeping in that bed tonight. Like, if I'm not sleeping, this is the important question of the day. We leave tonight after the game. We go to Charlotte. If I'm not sleeping in the bed tonight, do I need to make it so that it can be remade by the housekeeping crew that comes in for the next guest? I think not. I think that is a waste of time. What do you think it would take to get a player like DJ Augustine? I think a player like him and Young would be a good fit here. I wonder who Young is. So here's the thing on DJ Augustine. Like, I think this is great. This is a great conversation. We'll close on this conversation. So if we went and got DJ Augustine, do you think we'd, like, beat the Clippers? Do you think we'd beat the Lakers? Do you think we'd beat the Rockets? Do you think we'd beat the Nuggets? So we could go get probably DJ Augustine in Orlando. I don't know. They're trying to make the playoffs. Might not be available. But let's say that a DJ Augustine type player, so 30th point guard in the NBA, is available. And you go and trade for him. How much does he really change your team? You're giving up something, right? We're giving up another player, another pick, another... Like, does he really alter who we are, what our progression is, where we're heading, what we're going to be down the road? I think that's what you got to look at on some of these. Like, trading for trade's sake, just to make... I don't disagree that, like, DJ Augustine's nice. He's really small. He's never won a playoff series. He's not really a starting point guard in the NBA. Like... And I think he's a great example for this. We saw him the other night, but I just don't know, like, what does that really, right? Like, does that change who we are as a team? Does that change? That's what I think you've got to look at when you look at these things. Guys, great questions. You're always so good at this. And ladies, if there were some, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. This is Locked On Jazz. Coming to you from Atlanta. Beautiful hotel art and an unmade bed. Hope you have a great day. Thanks so much for tuning in. Locked On NBA today is me and Ben Golliver. So tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On NBA. Have a great one.